Hi, friends. Welcome to Worship at Central Church. I greet you in the name of our God of hope. You know, we just received a message from our Bishop David Bard reminding us that Easter is coming. We are a people of hope, even in this season of coronavirus, where we're people who hold on to those things that are life-giving and lasting. So I welcome you into God's presence here. We asked for these recorded services that you comment below on the screen. There you see there's a place for you to comment. We'd love to know who is watching today, where are you watching from, and how many people are with you today. That would really help us know how our reach is going, and we hope that you would let other friends know this is a worship gathering we invite anyone to. Hey, as your church staff, we've really had to get creative on how we offer these recorded worship experiences. In fact, while we're honoring social distancing, some of these elements will happen from different locations and maybe even from different people's homes, all intended to help you sense the nearness of God in our life right now. So you'll notice there'll be some elements that'll be the same, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock, but the music that so distinguishes the style of each of those two services will definitely be distinct according to 9 or 11. So you can stay with the service that means the most to you. Over this time, friends, it is so important that we reach out and are aware of each other, finding creative ways remotely to be compassionate to neighbors. And so keep checking out every few days Central Church's website and Facebook pages so you can find ways to stay connected with other people, but also ways to be a part of group and spiritual formation that we're continuing to do even in this strange season. And friends, please, remember your church financially with your tithes and offerings and your gifts for the ministry of the church does need to keep going on even in this time and not be interrupted. So let's move now to a time of song that we might commune with God and with each other.
Thank you.
We know where two or three are gathered in Christ's name, the Spirit of Christ is with us. And one powerful thing gets to happen with the congregation, either when we're all in person or we're in 100 households like this morning, is we get to pray together and feel solidarity with the Spirit. Prayer changes the world in loving ways. So we're going to pray today, and I'm going to tap something from the Church of England. And in this prayer form, I want to ask you to join me with a response. And I'll pray for some different needs, intercessions. And when I say, Lord, in your mercy, you would respond, hear our prayer. Okay? So in your house, let's rehearse. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good. All right? I think you got it. Join me, friends, in the spirit of prayer, and we'll pray for a variety of needs and then end with the Lord's Prayer Jesus taught us. Let us pray to the God of all people who reminds us even now that we dwell in the shelter of God's wing. So we pray together for all who are affected by coronavirus through illness or isolation or anxiety, that they may find relief and recovery. Lord, in your great mercy, hear our prayer. For those who are guiding our nation at this time, and in all nations, and shaping national policies, that they may make very wise decisions. Lord, in your great mercy, hear our prayer. For doctors and nurses and medical researchers, that through their skill and insights, many will be restored to health. Lord, in your great mercy, hear our prayer. And for the vulnerable and the fearful, for the gravely ill and the dying, that they may know your comfort and peace, Lord, in your great mercy, hear our prayer. Oh, we commend ourselves and all with whom we pray and for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. And now we pray a prayer Christ taught all who follow him to say together. Please join me as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's enter another time of song together.
Hey, good morning, church. Pastor Dale here on a Wednesday afternoon recording my Sunday message for you. I have to say this is the first time in my life I've completed a message this early in the week, so I guess now I know that I can do it. It's good to be with you this morning, and I want to talk to you about faith in challenging times today, and I'm going to start with kind of a fun story to get us going here. The story of a church mission team that had been on mission in South Africa, and they concluded their time by visiting a wildlife refuge and spending time there looking at the animals in their natural habitat. And at one point, they had the chance to visit a local watering hole. And as they watched the animals, they noticed that some were very calm as they drank. Others, though, were a bit more skittish, especially the impalas. You know, those gazelle-like creatures with the long horns. And they noticed that, you know, that the impalas had this distinctive kind of mark on their hindquarter in the shape of an M. Well, the pastor asked the guide why these impalas were so skittish. And the guide responded this way, saying, you see, that M on their hindquarters, it stands for McDonald's. They are the cheeseburgers of the food chain. And they're always on high alert because they know there's plenty of animals that would gladly eat them. Well, today's sermon is entitled Faith in Skittish Times. And I think given all that's going on in our world right now, this seems like a good theme to focus on for just a moment. I think we can all relate to that skittishness of the impalas, if you will, as fear of the coronavirus can prey on us. How do we live with faith in the midst of real fears? Well, I think for starters, we acknowledge that fear is part of life. It's a normal part of being human. In our brains, you know, that are wired to deal with this, to constantly seek out fearful situations and trigger a protection response when there is danger. In life, there are plenty of things to be actually fearful of. And so thanks be to God that we have this internal system that helps us, that protects us with that. I think of how the threat of the coronavirus is one of those real fears. You know, the further this virus has sped, the more cautious we have become, maybe fearful as well, and trying not to catch that or spread it on to somebody else. Doing what we can in this situation helps alleviate some of our fears. But what happens when the problem doesn't just go away? When we have to endure fear and be anxious over time? Well, we experience what so many of us are feeling right now, and that is lack of control or loss of control over this. I was reading something by a psychologist who was saying, you know, we are human beings, we're hardwired to respond to threats, protect ourselves, but it's really difficult when the threat is so uncertain and potentially far-reaching. That's where you start to see people take on, as they said, unusual behaviors. Like what? Maybe panicking and hoarding toilet paper and hand sanitizer, or even worse. But before this, surveys have shown for some time that Americans' level of anxiety, product, byproduct of fear, has risen sharply in recent years. One survey I saw shows that our nation's average anxiety score has tipped over the halfway point to 51%. This includes fears over health and safety, finances, politics, relationships. For as far as we have evolved as human beings, we still struggle to handle the uncertainty of what's next and are we going to be okay? What makes matters worse is that fear is also big business. You know that as much as I do. Much of our skittishness is a reaction to that 24-hour, 7-day-a-week onslaught of fear-mongering that happens in our world, that deliberate arousing of public fear to influence outcomes. In his book, Following Christ in a Culture of Fear, Scott Bader Say calls this the fear-for-profit syndrome. The intentional feeding of fears by politicians, advisors, religious leaders, I would add corporations as well as a way to exploit us for their advantage. One example, he says, is a political strategist, a consultant, naming the problem, saying, fear is the simplest emotion to tweak in a campaign ad. You associate your opponent with terror, with fear, with crime, causing pain or even uncertainty. We see that all the time, don't we? As a result, fear can build up in us, and we can even get to that place where we kind of catastrophize everything, seeing the worst in everything, seeing the worst in people. You probably heard that much overused phrase recently, existential threat, describe those fears that seem too big to deal with successfully, fears that threaten our existence. I remember a few lines from the story of Zorba the Greek. A young friend of the lead character turns to him and says, Zorba, have you ever been married? And Zorba growls in response, am I not a man? I've been married, wife, house, kids, the whole catastrophe. Of course, Zorba wasn't saying that life is catastrophe, but that it feels like it sometimes. Some days our fears get the best of us. And so the challenge in all of this is discern what is true and worth fearing, what is not. And for people of faith to know God and to know hope in the midst of all of that. Pastor Adam Hamilton of the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection wrote on this topic of fear and offered this helpful acronym of the word itself. F, face our fears with faith. E, examine our assumptions in the light of the facts. A, attack our anxieties with action. And R, release our cares to God. Let's look at facing fears with facts. Here's what I think about that. I believe this means that we start with a conviction of hope, which says that whatever is causing our fear is also happening within the realm of God's care and concern for us and for the world. And because of that, we can be assured that what is most important is still most important. God is yet the ground of our being, our hope in ages past, now and for years to come. Life is still a gift. Love yet has the power to transform. Justice and mercy is still the muscle of change. Peace and community is the fruit of it. And Christ is God's heart in it all. I want to share with you a scripture passage from Psalm 146, which offers a voice of praise and trust in God, who is the source of all our hope. The psalmist said, praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise God all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Oh, but blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. God remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed over. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner, sustains the fatherless and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. So praise the Lord. When we face our fears with faith and with hope in God, we find a sure foundation to stand on. We find a guiding compass to move with, and the ability to do so with a hope that knows that what is most important, what was most important, still is. And that is God's gracious, glorious goal of transforming us and our world into the way and likeness of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we examine our assumptions in light of the facts. You know, being a person of faith doesn't mean we set our brains on the shelf and kind of blindly blunder into whatever comes our way, trusting that God is going to save us. You know, I think if that were true, the books of the Bible that include the words of the prophets wouldn't be there, because the prophet's job was to call people back who had blindly blundered away from God into other, toward other gods and other ways of living. I think in terms of the coronavirus, that means that we follow the science. We follow the science, the facts, if you will, on what to do and on what not to do, because that is a gift that is given to God, from God, to those who have the ability to understand, the ability to apply that for health and for healing. We follow the science. It is a gift of God. We also use our minds, individual, collective, to discern fact from fiction. As I said before, unfounded fear leads to most of the anxiety that we suffer from. So what that means then is that we're careful. We're careful, and this is something that Scripture admonishes us to do. Be careful about what you let in, what you think about, what you ruminate on, what you allow to influence you. I guess you could say that watching your favorite news channel 24/7 right now is probably not one of those things, not a good idea. The Apostle Paul encouraged the early church in this, saying, "Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is just and pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if something is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." That's good advice, isn't it? Good advice when we're tempted to focus on what is wrong at the expense of what is right and good and true. Because I will tell you, my friends, in spite of the coronavirus, there is a lot of God's good going on in the world right now. Have you been looking for it? Where have you seen it? Next, we say we attack our anxieties with action. Strikes me that staying home, staying safe these days has hindered a lot of what we would normally do to combat fear and to keep hope alive in our lives, particularly how we serve neighbor, you know, being kind to someone as we make our way around community, working together hand in hand, be part of a solution, a greater solution in correcting a fear, a problem. And yet stories abound, don't they, about how we can care from home and at home, how we can reach out to others in so many ways. I think about how some have been sewing face masks for healthcare workers and hospitals, how some have staged drive-by birthday parties for neighbors. You've seen that and more, haven't you? But I also want you to consider how this time could be an opportunity for you to focus more on your inner life, your personal relationship with Christ. This week's a great time to practice some intentional quiet space, practice the presence of God. For example, meditate on that Psalm 146. Ask yourself a question like, how has God been a help and strength for me? Where have I seen God's mercy expressed toward the hurting? How does my faith offer me a blessing, make me happy? Positive action we take in the face of fear, how we put our minds, our hands to good work. It has the power to push back worry, to push back anxiety. Lastly, we address that skittishness of our times by releasing our cares, our fears to God. Back to the Apostle Paul for some concluding inspiration. In Philippians chapter 4, he says this: don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank God for all God has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. God's peace will guide guard your hearts and minds as you live in Jesus Christ. Prayer to God is a great way to release our cares and our fears, because when we do this, again, we're offering them to the one who holds us and who holds this world in faithful love and care. When we do this, we're as well agreeing with the hope that God has for us, the hope God has for the world. And what is better than that? That healing from this pandemic can come, that families and friends, the vulnerable, can be safe, that we could and will return to life as normal, that we might even be a better people for having gone through this together. When we release our cares to God, we're opening ourselves to new gifts of hope, expectation, imagination, as we wonder about what can and will be with God's help. Oh, may God help us all have such faith in the middle of these difficult days, both for ourselves and for those who look to us as a model, to be an example of what such faith might be. Amen. In a moment of response to the message today, I just want to encourage you to give yourself heart, mind, and soul in all the ways you feel called to the service of Christ in these days, to love of neighbor and family, and also as you're able to share your gifts, financial gifts with the church. You know, John Wesley said something like, do all the good you can in all the ways you can, with all the means you can. And I pray that we could all give generously to help support the ongoing work of Central Church in these days. Thank you for your generosity.
want you to hear this affirmation prayer before we send each other off today on this Sabbath day. This comes from the Women Methodist Movement in England. Remembering who Christ has made us to be, we are not people of fear, we are people of courage. We're not people who protect only our own safety, rather we are people who protect our neighbor's safety. We're not people of greed, but we're people of generosity. We are your people, God, giving and loving wherever we are, whatever it costs, or as long as it takes, wherever you call us to stand with others. Friends, now go in the deep peace of Christ. For it is deep enough and stubborn enough and tender enough to grant us abundant life all of our days. Now let's take care of ourselves and take care of each other until we're together again. Go in great joy. So friends, before you sign off, make sure if you haven't, comment at the bottom of the screen that you're with us. We so want to know who is with us today. And check in with us next Wednesday as Pastor Dale and I again will give a greeting on Wednesday evening. Have some maybe new news to tell you. God bless.